I'd like for you to go with me to the book of Mark. It'll be on your screens. It'll be in your notes. Let's read this account in 5 or 6 verses here. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat, and they started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High winds were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. The disciples woke him, shouting, "Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Suddenly, the wind stopped, and there was a great calm. And then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Another verse I'd like to read to you that's not in your notes. It will be on the screens to start out today is from Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12 in Hebrews follows that Hall of Faith chapter of chapter 11 that lists all of the great patriarchs and matriarchs of the faith and the great feats that they did through the power of the Lord. And then it goes into verse 1 of chapter 12 and says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily grips us or trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." Look at these words. "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus." Say that line with me. "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus." Say it one more time. "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." Father, we have invited your presence in this room. You are here. I believe you've already ministered to your people, but I believe now, Lord, you are going to give us this morning a step-ordering word. You are going to direct our paths. You are going to impart revelation, and I'm asking you for that. Impart revelation to your people today. Impart revelation to me as I deliver this word today. And set us on the right course with the right speed in Jesus' name. Today we pray for this entire year. Amen. I've mentioned something about this before in one of the messages I preached recently, but the early Quakers had a saying and they had a practice that when someone would get upset, when things would get start going wrong, things start becoming tense, they would look at one another. If they were believers, they would look at one another and say, "Center down." And that phrase grabbed my attention when I first heard it several months ago. Center down. Say that with me. Center down. Now, before I even preach the message, I know how sometimes I'm going to preach about 3 or 4 weeks on this. And sometimes we get these little buzzwords in Christianity and we start throwing them out at each other. Now, you guys remember this, okay? Remember me telling you I cannot stand for people to look at me and say, "Chill out." I'm a bit high strung at times, I've been told. And the last thing I want to hear is "chill out." I'm like, you can talk to me about what needs to happen, just don't tell me to chill out. So I know about 10 of you are already thinking you're going to say that as soon as I walk out today. But in the same line, I don't want us to get to the point where we're looking at each other judgmentally and saying, "Center down," you know. But I do want us to get the principle, because this is what it meant. When they would say "center down," they knew exactly what it meant, because you can Google it and even read a little bit about it, that the Quaker style of worship was that you came together, the first person who got there, that's when church started, and you sat still and quietly and you centered down until someone felt the Spirit of God move. And then they would speak a word, or they would sing a song, or they would read a scripture, you know. That's just sort of the way they're worshiped with. I am not advocating that we all become Quakers. I am advocating that we take this principle today. And what it meant was focus again on the center. To center down is to focus again on the center. Now, Israel Houghton wrote a song years ago called "Jesus is the Center of It All." So when we say center down, Jesus is the one who lives in us. So what they were saying is the center is Christ in you. Focus on the center. Don't you wish with me that all of America this year, after the year we had of 2017 in America. Don't you wish that America would center down this year? Don't you wish that we would tone down the rhetoric? Don't you wish that the simple truth is, in America, we need God. America needs to center down. But America won't center down unless the church centers down. Unless we do. As we begin a new year of 2018, I am aware that we have made resolutions. We have started new eating patterns, maybe many of you. We have started going back to exercise programs that we had thrown aside. We are starting to form new habits, and we are trying to get rid of destructive old habits. There's something about that turning the leaf over to the new year that is a fresh start, isn't it? I kind of like the way our calendar is, in that we have that new year and fresh start. Of course, it can be a new day in God anytime. But I know at the first of the year, we're starting to pay attention again to our physical bodies. We want to get healthy. We're setting goals for physically for this year where we want to go. Maybe some of you have even set intellectual goals, and you're going to pick back up some reading and set aside some time for reading where you've kind of been busy and neglected intellectually developing. Maybe some are going back to school, taking courses to develop yourself in your career or an area of your passion. And maybe some are beginning to work on relationship goals. Maybe you're already thinking, and you've already marked off that March date for our marriage conference this year. All our married couples and those that are engaged to be married this year. Yeah, and so we're going to get the fire back in our marriage. Somebody say, come on. Husbands, your wife is listening to see if you are saying amen right there. Yeah. Or maybe it's we are going to focus on getting that quality time with our children that's been missing in our lives. Or maybe you are setting financial goals. And maybe you started doing that back in October when we started teaching about that. And you're using wisdom and you're setting a target date for being out of debt or for paying off that next debt. Or maybe you're starting to save now for Christmas, which ironically comes every year at the same time. And this year it's not going to take you by surprise, right? And you know what? Every one of those are worthy goals. Did you know that? Physical goals, relational goals, financial goals, and mental, intellectual goals. Those are all worthy goals. And I say yay to everybody. I'll be your biggest cheerleader that may you accomplish all that you've set your heart to do. I do want to add, I am a pastor, and I am called of God to shepherd your souls. So I do want to add this, that if we stop with physical and relational and financial goals, and we don't have any spiritual goals, then we are going to fall short. And what is going to happen is we are going to begin to fill our lives if we don't grow, shout grow spiritually. If we do not grow beyond where we've been, we are going to begin to fill our lives with the activities or the money or the vacations or the hobbies that are going to try to fill the spiritual void that is in every one of us without Christ. If we are not growing in Christ, we will try to fill up because Christ is always wanting us. He's wanting to take us higher and he's wanting to take us further. And if we are not cultivating our spiritual walk, then we will find ourselves pouring in more and more activities that will end up stressing us out. And I fully believe, please hear me this morning, that many Christians say they are burning out, not because they are pressing into God spiritually, but because they are adding all the other activities. So I ask you today, where do you want to be spiritually by the end of this year? What goal have you set for yourself? And where do you want to be spiritually by the end of this year? Today I'm issuing us a challenge to center down. I'm issuing a challenge to focus on God. And I'm going to try to help you this month. I'm going to try to start helping you today with this message. Because here is what is truth. What we are conscious of and what we are focusing on creates an atmosphere that we live in. If your life is filled with worry, if your life is filled with fear, then you will become physically sick and you will become depressed and you will have mental problems. If your life is constantly focused on worry and fear and dread. What we focus on becomes the atmosphere that we live in. And furthermore, you create an atmosphere by what you focus on, so that everyone around you begins to be a part of the atmosphere that you have created. You begin to release to your children and to your husband and your spouse. You begin to release in your small group. You begin to release on your job. And you begin to release even in your church the atmosphere that you are carrying. Have you ever heard the phrase, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy? Come on, guys, you can say yes. Every one of you said it at one time or another, I'm quite sure. But is it not totally true? Mama sets the atmosphere for the home. Did you know that? Mama sets the atmosphere for the home. And if mama ain't happy, the home ain't happy. There's an atmosphere. If mama's stressed out, the home is stressed out. If mama's worried and fearful, the home becomes worried and fearful. Y'all don't really want to hear me get real today, then, did you? You just wanted me to patty cake and say, go home, baker's man. Let's all, you know. Another example that's more positive is if you are in a room, it can be a doctor's office. It can be at the dentist. It can be on your job. And you're in a room, you don't even have to be intimately related with the people. But somebody starts to laugh. See, every one of you just about are smiling. When you think about somebody laughing, it brings a smile. But before you know it, there is a contagious atmosphere that breaks out. And if that person really gets tickled, and it can even be a small child, and they begin just to laugh and giggle, do you know what happens? You're going to start laughing. Either that or you are dead and you need the emergency room fast. I mean, that is a possibility. When laughter breaks out, even with one or two people, you may not even know what the joke was. You may not even know what was funny, but the very nature of laughter is an emotion that gets released, and you begin to chuckle, and you begin to laugh. I'm going somewhere with this. Is that all right? Psychologists call this social contagion. The atmosphere you live in becomes contagious. But if this can work in the emotional realm, I submit to you, how much greater can it work in the spiritual realm as well? Have you noticed that when you come to church, there is an uplift that you receive? Now, I will pause there and say very quickly, if you are not feeling better when you leave church than when you got here, you're probably in the wrong church. You need to find the church that will help you have an uplift so you go out and are victorious the rest of the week. Now, the only way I could think of that you would leave feeling worse is if the Holy Spirit was convicting you and you resisted and didn't submit to Him. You might leave feeling, oh, something ain't right. But overall, we generally feel uplifted when we leave church, don't we? And do some of you who come back to things like First Wednesday services and Sunday night special services when we have those, and you're coming back more than just one service a week, have you noticed that there seems to be more power and more of an uplift as you come back? Have you noticed that? I'm not rebuking anybody who doesn't. I'm just trying to identify with those of you who do, especially when we have like a 9:30, 11:30, and you say, hey, that was so good, I think I want to stay for the second service. And the next thing you know, you're coming back at 6 o'clock that night, like when Bishop Hurd's going to be here this week. We're going to try to have a 6 o'clock so we can just get everything out of him that God's put in him this year. Amen? And those kinds of things are happening. And we come back, and there's something about, I don't know if you've noticed it. I'm speaking to those now who have experienced this, but I don't know if you notice it, but when the doors open at 5:30, it's like electricity in here. And I'm like, now where was that this morning? But do you know what's happening? There is an atmosphere that is being built. Many times we say things like, seems like we go further in those extra services than we even do when we come together on Sunday morning. Go further, meaning in the Spirit of God, going higher in the things of the Spirit. But the reason is, you had more focus on God during the day. There's really nothing magical about it. It's just the simple fact that our focus, we centered down, not for an hour, but for a whole day. Because what usually happens is we come in and we have the uplift on Sunday morning. And before we lay our head down on Sunday night, we've had a whole lot of other things that we're focusing on. I'm talking right to you now. And so by Sunday night, we can kind of remember what the anointing of God felt like that morning, but it's kind of drifting now because we've had our focus totally off God and onto other things. And so what happens when we come back like that, back to back, our focus stays. We're centering down. And all day long, I'm focusing on God. And then we go away saying, oh, I've never experienced anything like that before. Or maybe I've mentioned this to you before, but in missions work, I think everybody should go on a missions trip at least once. Take a missions trip. Work on the foreign field somewhere. And something happens on missions trips. And by the end of that trip, every day and night, you're focused on helping people, feeding people, clothing people, ministering the word of God to people, sometimes people who don't get to even have church openly. And you're just in that atmosphere of the Spirit of God constantly. And so by the end of that trip, you come home wanting to be a missionary. There's nothing wrong with that. God's called you especially. There's nothing wrong with that. But you come home thinking, I could raise the dead. I mean, I could do anything now. Do you know why? You've been centered down and focusing on God nonstop for 8 days. And the same thing happens when we maybe go to another church conference, a prayer conference, a worship conference, something somewhere else. And then we start thinking, oh, am I supposed to move and go to that church? Well, maybe you are. If so, let us know before you do it, please. But just, we'll bless you, send you out. But many times it's not that I'm supposed to go to that church. I'm supposed to recognize, what was I doing when I was there that maybe I could keep doing in my everyday life, and I could have that kind of anointing and that kind of power on a regular basis. So people often ask, Pastor, why do you see more miracles overseas? We're constantly hearing. Bishop Hurd comes in, he just tells us one after the other of miracles that are taking place and people that serve. And I believe it's because in America, we have so much to pull our focus. And I believe it's because when we are in those places, our focus, everybody say narrowed. Our focus is narrowed to the things of God, where it is usually, and I know that I'm right in this. I'm not trying to be right, but I know you know I'm preaching right in this. Our focus is spread. We have so much that we feel we have to focus on. But listen, what you are focusing on is creating atmosphere. And when we're focusing on God, on the things of God, when we are worshiping with His people, fellowshipping with His people, when we're not only hearing His word, but we're in His word for ourselves, when we're coming back to prayer meetings, when we're going to small group, it's not about the activity. It's not about how many times a week you go to church. Hear me in this. It's not about that. It's not legalistically about how much you do, but it is about what you center on. It is about where our focus is. And what happens is, as we begin to center down, an atmosphere of faith is created. That's what happened just now as we were worshiping. An atmosphere of faith filled this room. And I felt that I heard the Lord say He wanted to break bondages off people that were living in depression and despondency. There was an atmosphere of faith that was being built as we were focusing and narrowing our focus in this hour and a half on God. Then when believers have a awareness, because it releases this awareness of what God can do. Psalm 145, I believe it is, said that I will meditate. That means focus on. I will meditate on your majestic, glorious splendor. Your awe-inspiring deeds are going to be on my every tongue. I'm going to proclaim your greatness, God. And when we speak His greatness and we focus on His greatness, an atmosphere of faith is formed and we begin to release it. Hear me today, church. We start releasing an atmosphere of faith. And what happens in that is we become more aware of His power. Instead of thinking about our problem and our issue, we're thinking about what God can do to it. What God can do in it. You can't talk about Him. Come on, somebody. You can't talk about Him without knowing He is the high and mighty one. He is the one who sits on a lofty throne. He is the one who walks across the heavens and the clouds are his footsteps. He is the one who measured the oceans in the palm of his hand. And you start thinking about that, you're going to get an atmosphere of faith around you. And I'm not trying to give you something today that you can't live. I'm about to tell you how we're going to live it. You can't talk about him without creating an atmosphere of faith and releasing an atmosphere of faith. And what happens then? When you release an atmosphere of faith, you begin to release God's authority. God's authority shows up and God begins to move. We've just come through a season in Christmas of preaching about the theme of miracles. And I know that this year, Pastor Carey's, I don't have like one word to put on a t-shirt for this year. I don't know if I will. If so, we'll get t-shirts. But I don't know that you always have to have that. But we may have it. On the first Sunday in February, we're going to hold Vision Sunday. And I'm going to impart a lot to you of what God specifically wants us to do this year and where he's taking us. But I know that my husband has already felt in his spirit that we are entering into a year of the manifestation of God. And since we've been preaching on glory, and we've been focusing on miracles, we've been focusing on God, centering down on God. And I believe the next step is the manifestation. Because when you create that atmosphere of faith by narrowing your focus onto God, and you begin to be aware of his power, he begins to release his divine authority. And anywhere God releases, in the scripture that we read in the beginning, and I'll get back to that in a second, but in that scripture that we read in the beginning, all Jesus had to do was release his authority over the storm. So it's not a formula, but it's in your notes. And I don't want you to make it a formula. We tend to say, now I do this, then I'll get this, then I add this, then it equals this. Well, there are some processes. There are some spiritual disciplines and things that do equal results in the kingdom of God. But I don't want to say it so much as a formula, as much as just your awareness that this is what really happens. When you focus on God, it releases an atmosphere of his presence. Shout his presence. He's here today because we focused on him. He's here today. It creates then an atmosphere of faith. Shout faith. It releases divine authority. Shout divine authority. And God works miracles. Anywhere his authority is released, he works miracles. Anywhere you allow him to come in, he will work a miracle. And a miracle is anything we can't do in the natural. This is exactly what happened in the book of Acts in chapter 2. I taught about this in the Glory series several weeks ago. But the Bible says when the Holy Spirit came, the sound of his coming, shout the sound. The sound of his coming filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now we are told, and we learn from the scripture that there were 120 of them in that room. And those of you who've heard me preach this, don't answer. Who got filled first? 120 in the room. Was it Peter? Because he's the one who stood up and gave the great message. Was it Mary, the mother of Jesus? Was it Mary Magdalene who loved him so much? No, not one particular person got filled first. The room got filled first. I'm talking about atmosphere right now. I'm talking about centering down. It's not some pagan religion. It's not becoming a Quaker. It is doing what we are told to do throughout scripture, and that is seek first Jesus Christ and focus and worship him and him alone. The room got filled up with the sound of the Holy Spirit. And once the room was saturated, somebody shout the word saturated. Once the room was saturated, it created a critical mass. And that's what I want. You say, what do I pray for you about this year? Pray for critical mass. You want to link with me, intercessors? Pray for critical mass. Pray that we have such a God focus every time we come into this place and when we leave this place. But when we come together, it's a critical mass because all of us have centered down and are focusing on God, and he can do what he wants to do in this house. Oh, somebody put your hands together for a minute. Give me a chance to catch my breath. Why do you want to see that, Pastor Vanny? Because I want to see your family free. I want to see you free. I want to see your neighbors and your coworkers free. I want to see the down and out and the up and out free. The room got saturated. It reached critical mass in that 10-day period. And everyone, because they focused for 10 days. Do you hear me? They focused for 10 days on the promise that Jesus said he was going to send. Now I ask you, had they not focused, would the Holy Spirit have been able to come? Would he have had to have chosen a different group of people? Because there were at least 500 that saw Jesus supernaturally disappear into the clouds back into heaven. But something happened with 380 of them. I think they lost focus. 120 kept focus, and that's why we have the story of Pentecost today. Is this okay? Are y'all too warm? Are you too hot? Are you sleepy? Are you cold? You hear what I'm saying? I don't know how many are seated here today. I know that we've grown by 15% this past year, and I give God the glory for that. And we've only just begun. Only just begun. I don't know how many are in this room, and it doesn't really matter the exact number, but if every one of us could focus on the Lord, could focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the completer of our faith, I believe we can still see the things that they saw in the book of Acts. And that is my goal for this ministry. I want a book of Acts church. I want to be a book of Acts preacher. I want to be a book of Acts pastor. I want to see the anointing of Peter. I want to see the anointing of James, the head of the church. I want to see the anointing of an apostle Paul, who used to be the chief persecutor of the brethren. I want to see an anointing of Timothy, sons of God, breaking out in the house. I want to see the lame walk. I want to see us raise the dead. When they die prematurely, I want to see us raise the dead. I'm not asking God that anybody die. I'm asking him for a church that has the power that we can look at a situation and say, no, it's not your time. I refuse to let you die. Do you want it? Do you want to be used? I believe you. I believe you. Be seated. This is what we're going to do. Listen, you might even say, Pastor Vanny, why would I want to know how to change atmospheres? I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a sociologist. I'm not even in marketing. Atmospheres, why should they matter to me? And here's your answer. Are you ready? Please hear me in this today. Because the failure of the modern church to do what the church has always done has caused us to get off the foundation that Jesus built. I understand that I'm speaking as much into the atmosphere right now as I am into this room. The failure of the modern church to understand this principle about releasing an atmosphere of faith and focusing on the Lord so that the atmosphere of faith can break out, the failure of the modern church has left the church anemic and has left the church at the mercy of whatever great idea comes down the pike next from the world. From the beginning, believers have practiced the presence of God. From the beginning. But today, we have some sort of strange, weird, awkward place in Christianity. Hear me in this. Where believers visit God once a week. Help me, Spirit of God. Where we visit God like we would visit our aged, beloved grandfather in the nursing home. And we go in and we have a little time with him. And we might even leave uplifted and maybe clapping our hands, oh, it was so good to be there today. But then we promptly walk out and we forget the presence of God for the rest of the week. Believers no longer manifest or walk in the presence of God. Just visit on Sundays. Just come visit God. And then like the disciples, we have Jesus in the boat because we've gotten saved. Come on. We have Jesus in the boat, but he's sleeping and we don't even know what's going on. And we begin to sail headlong into a storm. And when the storm hits, suddenly we wake up and we realize, I need a connection with Jesus. Where is he? I heard Dr. Cho say years ago in a prayer conference, the man at that time in his life was praying 5 hours a day. And he says, I have to. I pastor 500,000 people. I have to pray 5 hours a day to even make it. But at that time, something happened that his son either was dying or was dead. I believe he actually passed away for a few minutes or a few hours. And Dr. Cho, as I remember it, said, this is many years ago now, he said, had I waited until I stood over my son to try to get a connection with Jesus, it would have been too late. It's not that God won't respond out of mercy and grace, but he said, I had to know him for myself. I had to know that I walked in that divine authority to be able to step in there and say, you're not dying now. And his son was raised up. Are you hearing me today? It's not a visit. Church is not a casual visit with God. People say, preach it and say, well, wake Jesus up in your boat. There wasn't anything wrong with Jesus. Jesus wasn't afraid of the storm because he knew he walked in authority over it. And here's the thing. If the question he asked them is, what's happened to your faith? Where is your faith? Because here's what I believe, and help me, apostle, if I'm off in this. I believe they should have rebuked the storm. I believe they should have let Jesus sleep. He'd been casting out devils. He'd been preaching. He might have been days without sleep. I believe they needed to let the master rest on the pillow, and they should have spoke to it. And he said, where's your faith? Jesus, I need a connection. Jesus, I need a connection. Lord, don't you care what's going on in my life? That's what they said. Lord, don't you care? We're perishing. Don't you care? I've got to hurry here. I always preach longer in front of you than I do at home. It's all your fault, too. I can whip right through this at home. I don't even get loud like this. Too much. Is Jesus with us? Now, don't answer this. Do you have a connection with him? Isaiah 26 says this, you will keep in perfect peace. This is why you don't have to be depressed. You will keep in perfect peace all those who trust in you. Listen, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord is the God, our eternal rock. The reason you felt the presence of God more on the mission field is because you were focused. The reason you felt him at that church prayer conference or worship conference is because you were focused. We are called to create that atmosphere. And church, shame on us today if we're allowing ourselves to get caught up in the stuff around us, the agitation of the world. I said shame on us for getting caught up in the agitation that's in the world. Where should your thoughts be fixed today? Should it be on North Korea? Well, you should pray. But should you really get caught up in turmoil about North Korea and Rocket Man or whoever he is? Should you get caught up in the NFL and all of their woes and troubles? Should you get caught up in the political chaos that continues to go on around us? Let me ask you, is your Savior in the White House or is your Savior on the throne of heaven? I'm asking you to shut down the rhetoric on your social media and to stop sharing things that you have no business sharing. I'm asking you to only let Jehovah Nissi be your banner. For the cause of the Lord I fight, and for him alone. Center down. You can't center down in peace if your thoughts are always going to be on that side or that side or that political party, or I hate Trump or I love Trump. Either Trump's a demon or he's God incarnate if you listen to some people. And he's neither. He's a man. And Jesus Christ is our Savior. And he's the only one I trust in. And he can use whomsoever he pleases to do his work in the earth. Before you walk in a restaurant, before we walk into the mall, before we go into Walmart, center down. Center down. Say, Jesus, let me spread your presence here. See, I don't do that all the time. I'm guilty. I am guilty of visiting God. I'm guilty even in ministry of visiting God. I am guilty, like the disciples, of being more concerned about row, row, row in the boat. Or making sure everybody's in their place on the boat. Listen to me, please. And then suddenly waking up and saying, wait a minute, there's a storm. Where's my connection with Jesus? When the truth is, we are meant to be connected. Are you ready for this? Every day, all day, for the rest of our lives. Say that with me. Every day, all day, for the rest of my life. Say it again. Every day, all day, for the rest of my life. You don't have to visit God. You can walk in the manifest presence of God. He's wanting to display His glory in this church and through this church. And we shall see the glory of the Lord. We shall see the glory of the Lord. Listen, I heard Bishop Hurd say, when I told you about the great move of God that happened in Houston many years ago, and how Bishop Hurd was really in the power, under the power of God for almost 3 hours. He couldn't speak. He couldn't do anything. He was really under the power and under the presence of God in a very supernatural way. Something that I don't know if it's happened to him since, but I heard him testify of this. I heard him say that since that day, he has never had a moment without the conscious awareness of the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you something. That made me a little mad. Because I couldn't say that. I heard that and a holy envy has risen up in me. I say it's holy if envy can be holy. Because I said, God, I want that. Now, does that mean God's going to knock me out for 3 hours? I don't know, but if he does, leave me alone. If he does, just let me be. Because I'm going to come back better. Does it have to happen that way? No. What can happen is we can get the revelation of it through what he experienced. We can get the revelation of it. When he said, I've never experienced a day, I said, God, that's what I want. But that's not just what I want for me. It's what I want for you. It's what I want for our church. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in a higher dimension of the authority of God this year. In the city, in my family, in the church, wherever God takes me. I'm going to Cuba in June with Pastor. I'm going to do 2 women's conferences in 1 week. They came out of prayer meeting recently. We began to have prophecy coming Saturday morning prayer recently. I said, I got to go. They've already set it up. We've got the dates. I'm going in the hottest month. Jesus, help me. It's all right. That's all right. I'm going to lose weight, and it ain't going to matter. My blood's going to get thinner. It begins with me centering down and focusing on God, and that is what we're trying to do this month. We believe that January is a month where you really seed the month to God. And you really just take January to set the course for the rest of the year. And to give God the first things first. And here's how we're going to do it. You have it in your notes today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Here's some opportunities. Are you ready? Here's how we're going to center down to launch 2018. Tomorrow we begin 21 days of prayer and fasting. January the 8th, Monday, through January the 28th, Sunday. And all fasting does is gets our flesh quiet. So we're not focusing on our flesh. Now, it'll take a few days of focus to keep from eating. Or to keep from eating whatever you're giving up or whatever. This is not Lent. This is not, I'm giving this up for Lent. No, this is a fast, say, unto the Lord. And then fasting gets the body quiet, but prayer connects us with God. So we're adding fasting and prayer. And I would invite you to choose a fast. We would like to do this as a church. And you don't have to be a member to participate in this. But I'd like for you to choose a fast that suits you. Some of you are on medication, and to do a total fast is really out of the question for you. A total fast is just to drink water for 21 days. A partial fast is to fast maybe until sundown. Or you maybe fast till 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night. Or fast till your evening meal. A juice fast is where you think, I don't think I could do without, you know, some nourishment. So you could juice, or you could drink bottled juices, that sort of thing, along with a lot of water, but no food. A Daniel fast is a fast that basically cuts out sweets and meats and dairy and focuses on vegetables, whole grains, and fruits, that sort of thing. A Daniel fast is biblical, and it's taken from the book of Daniel. You can read up. There's a lot about that out on the internet if you want to know more about that. Decide which fast works for you, but can I ask you to do this? Decide before the day's over. Because if you wait till tomorrow morning, your body is going to say, let's eat breakfast. And then it's going to say, let's have a snack. And, oh, you can fast dinner. And then you're so full by dinner that you really didn't want to eat anyway. So, you know I'm talking right to you. We've all done it. So decide tonight, if you haven't already, what you're going to do for your fast. And then when the body starts screaming at you, just tell it, you've got to be quiet. I'm not focusing on you. For 21 days, I'm focusing on the Lord. And then that's only the part that gets the body quiet. Add the prayer. Everybody shout, add prayer. Take specific times for this 21 days that you are giving to the Lord in prayer and in His Word. Listen, there are several Bible reading plans on the YouVersion Bible app. You can maybe select one. I've got one that I'm doing right now. I already started into it. I think it's called Return to Me by Jennison Franklin. And it's just a little bit of devotional and some scripture reading and a tip each day for how to continue your fast in victory. There's also a Daniel fast reading plan out there. Many different types of reading plans that can help you each day, so you have something that you're focusing on every day during your fast. And then also, number two, we are going to begin morning prayer during this 21 days tomorrow morning from 7 to 8 a.m. For those of you who don't have to be at your job super early, and you want to come between 7 and 8, anytime during that, if you want to come for part of it, if you want to come for the whole thing, to help with that extra time in prayer, we're going to open the sanctuary. We're going to start with a worship song, not the whole band. It'll probably just be me. I don't know who else will be here. They can join in if they're here. And we're going to have a worship song. We'll have a scripture. And then we'll allow some time for you just to pray by yourself, sitting here or kneeling here. And the last 10 minutes or so, we'll come together and we'll focus together for those that are here on prayer for the last 10 minutes. In your worship guides today, you have a prayer guide for the 21 days. We're asking you, again, there's power in what we do together. So we're asking you, there's some tips on the front about the fast and the prayer. But on the back, there's actually day 1 through day 21. And the days that are Monday through Friday, we have a prayer focus. And that means, like, on day 1, we're asking everybody that's participating to pray over our leaders in our nation, in our state, in our city. And just whatever else you pray, just be praying that tomorrow. And then on day 2, on our pastors, our church staff, and so forth. And so you've got a guide. And then on Saturdays, we're inviting you to come together. On Sundays, we'll be here together for prayer. But that helps you, and that helps all of us get a focus for each day during the 21 days. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We also will continue to meet, as we do every week, on Saturday morning prayer from 8:30 to 9:30. And if you don't usually attend Saturday morning prayer, I'd like to invite you during these 3 Saturdays, try to make it a point to come. And I believe you're going to be blown away by how God will touch you and how He will use you to pray for the situations and the people we will be praying for. Number 4, I'm inviting you to partake of communion on a daily basis. Communion is simply focusing on Jesus. He said, whenever you do it, think about me. Remember me. Go out and buy some little saltine crackers or some of those little oyster wafers or something. You say, well, that's breaking my fast. Oh, don't get legalistic with me, okay? Get you a little bottle of grape juice that's going to last the whole 21 days. Get your family together. If you're single, just have communion between you and God in your home. And take communion every day during that prayer time. What you're going to find is your focus. It's only going to take a few seconds, a few minutes. Take that little bit of cracker or that little wafer and that juice and just come together and say, Lord, we're remembering you. We're coming back to the cross and we're remembering what you did. I believe you're going to find your body's getting healed. I believe you're going to find your finances being broke open. It's just another way. Everybody say, center down. It's another way we can center down. I'm inviting you then to come at the 19th or the 21st of this month to the Holy Spirit encounter. And let's see what God can do when we have 5 services in a row. Amen. Friday night, Saturday night, 2 on Sunday morning, and 1 on Sunday night. Let's just see what God can do. Make sure, if you work, if you've got a work schedule that doesn't permit it, I hope that you're bold enough that you'll just go to your boss and say, look, you know, I don't take a lot of vacation. I'm on time all the time. I work hard. I'm going to be a better person if you'll let me do this. I'm going to come back working better if you'll let me go to my church's Holy Spirit encounter. And if it doesn't freak them out, they're going to let you go. And then, and you know what? You know what that is? We talk about going to church conferences. This is our church conference. Holy Spirit encounter is our first church conference of the year. Number 6, get in the growth track. I've already talked about it. Let that be part of your focusing and centering down this year. And then number seven, I'm asking that every one of us give God a full year of devotion. A full year. Not start out just in January and then we're done. A full year. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It's not, I don't think it's in your notes, but it's on your screens. I want you to look at just the first few words and say those bold words with me. All the believers devoted themselves. Say that again. All the believers devoted themselves. That didn't say Peter devoted them. It didn't say their pastor devoted them or their small group leader devoted them. They had to devote themselves. We can give you all of this. We can present all of this. We can say, church, we're going to grow in God if we'll do this together. But it all comes down to you and God. And each one of us have to devote ourselves to God. I had a dream this week. The band is coming now to lead us in the last song of worship. I had a dream this week, and if you were here Wednesday night, I told you about it. And I am getting more and more clarity on that dream. And I'm also going to stop saying that I hardly ever have dreams, because I said that a couple months ago, and it was a spiritual dream. And I'm going to start saying now that one of the ways God is starting to speak to me is in dreams. And I had a dream that I was in a house, and I went, and I know a house can represent the church. I was in a house that I was familiar with, and I went upstairs to an upper room. And it's odd that that's where I went. I didn't think about that till later. I went upstairs, and my mother was there, who's with the Lord. My mother, who used to be the spiritual mother of this house, was there. I didn't interact with her. I didn't see her vividly. I just knew this is my mom, and mom was doing the laundry. But the only thing is, the laundry, she wasn't washing and drying clothes. The clothes were already washed and dried, and they were laying around in bins and on the floor and counters. And they were crinkled, they were wrinkled, and they were all piled together. And I don't know what your mama taught me, but my mama taught me the wash isn't done until it's folded and put away or hung in the closet. I also learned that you don't hang it in the closet until it's pressed, if it needs pressing. I know some of you don't know what that means. It shows sometimes. No, just that one was for you. Even t-shirts need to be ironed now and then. And I woke up, and I don't know how often I dream, but it's very rarely that I can remember a dream. And I woke up and I thought, that was odd, because somehow in that same night I had dreamed already about laundry, and now I dreamed about it again. And I just immediately began to sense that this is a spiritual condition of people. And I thought at first that it was people that need to come into the church, that need to get order, and need to be pressed, and need to be folded, and need to be hung up so the master can use them. And that may very well be. It may be our community. But William had some further insight on it. And he texted me the next morning. And he said, you know, laundry is something you own, you possess. When laundry's in your house, it's yours. I don't take in other people's laundry. Do y'all? Unless they're paying me. I don't, you know. And so it's something that already belongs to you. It's not necessarily others that have got to come in. It's people that are here, but who are finding that their lives are in disarray. Their lives are not in order. And I believe God. I believe the reason I saw my mother, one of the reasons, is because the mantle that was on her has been passed to me. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say that as... I say that with humility, because she was an intercessor that I only dream of being, you know. But I do know this. I know that God's called me to pastor this church, and I know that he said he wants a church without spot, and only Jesus can do that. I can't wash your spots away. Hear me, church. I cannot wash your sin away. Only Jesus can do that. But I can iron, and I can fold, and I can organize. And I can do that with the word of God in my mouth and with my intercession and my prayers. And I'm not the only one going to do it. We do it together. Amen. We do it together. But some of you, this is the year for you to get out of the laundry basket. You're clean, but the master can't use you yet because you're not without wrinkle. Could we start to sing? I'm feeling the Holy Ghost all up and down right now. Stand here.